Welcome back, Alana. We are back in studio and we're really, really excited. And we have our very own Sean Smith with us from Black Push. He's in the building tonight and he's going to be talking to us about his work as it relates to anti-gun violence. So really excited for you to be here with us, Sean. Thank you so much for coming out and for traveling.
Thank you for having me. And I was thinking about it just a minute ago. I was like, dang, she got like a radio voice.
Oh my goodness.
This is amazing.
That's so funny. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, I'm so happy to have you here. You've been doing great work, and I just learned throughout the entire state of Georgia. So you've been working in every county. I know people know you, but for those that are listening, they may not be from Georgia. We have a big New York City following as well. So I would love to introduce you formally and then hear more about your work from you. Sounds good?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So Sean Smith is the president and CEO of the Black Push Incorporated, which is a nonprofit dedicated to combating social injustice, voter suppression, and incarceration. As a teenager, Sean started his first nonprofit, Amazing, teaching kids to play the violin while also tutoring them in academics. Mr. Smith is extremely passionate about giving ex-offenders another opportunity in society, especially being that he himself is an ex-offender. He sees himself as a leader by every definition of the term. And there's so much more to his bio. He just opened up Community Center in conjunction with his church, the Reverend Timothy McDonald Community Outreach Center, which the ribbon cutting was last week. Congratulations
last week. Yes,
again,
ma'am.
For that.
Thank you.
And he's going to be having some barbershop tours, which is absolutely amazing. I never heard of it, but I love to hear more about your work. So, Sean, tell us, what was it that got you into this work?
So, first off, I'm not even from Georgia. I don't have a people think, like, you know, you really love Georgia. I'm from Florida.
Right. Wow.
And seriously, how I got into this work, it's like, it states in my bio, I'm an ex-offender. So, right. When I got out of jail, the world looked different to me. It felt different to me. It didn't feel like I fit into the world anymore.
Right.
And I had to kind of figure it out for myself. I had to kind of figure out my ways, made mistakes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I was blessed to not have to find myself back in that same situation.
Right.
And I just started kind of looking at the world and saying, like, how can I make it to where it's more fair for everybody, to where people who have made mistakes have opportunity to come back out and have a system that is welcoming of them.
Wow.
So we just started there. We started by working on policy. We started by giving people second opportunities.
Right.
And then, of course, George Floyd happened, and it spans your view of the world.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, you have things like Breonna Taylor, Breonna Greer, and so many other cases that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we were literally, I was traveling the nation, touring different places of gun violence. So I had been to Buffalo, had been to Uvalde, met with the mayor of Uvalde, went down to Buffalo, met with the lieutenant governor and the governor down in Buffalo after the shooting happened down there and families down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to say, okay, well, I'm going to focus on gun violence. And then somebody began to say to me, like, well, what about Atlanta?
Mm.
And I began to go back and look back. Like, you know, I do stay in metro Atlanta.
Right.
So I began to look at Atlanta, what was going on in Atlanta, and began to realize that we have a huge problem here.
That's right.
And I really kind of shifted my focus to really just saying, okay, let's galvanize around here. Let's create something here.
Yeah.
And let's do something different here. And let's show the world, let's show the nation that we can combat gun violence in a different type of way.
Mm.
And we can do it from not a perspective of policy or depending on politicians to actually pass legislation. We can do it from a community ground up basis. And that's what our approach is. Like, we're taking community and we're saying, community, this is a problem that started in community. Let's go back to community and fix the problem.
That's so powerful. I love the ground up approach and how you really started to focus in on gun violence. What are some of the trends? What are you seeing out here in Metro Atlanta?
So not only in Metro Atlanta, first off, what we see is that most of the cases that we have going through our judicial system right now are young people. And most of the young people that are going through the judicial system, they're going through for serious crimes. It's not like the stuff that as a child, like, I would go through from, like, robbing, I mean, stealing from Walmart and stuff like that.
Right.
These kids committing murder crimes, armed burglaries, armed robberies.
Mm-hmm.
They're breaking in cars, not trying to look for your wallet. They're looking for guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people have equated the fact that if I have a gun, I have power.
Wow.
And we're trying to change the dynamic that a gun doesn't equal power.
That's
equals
right.
power is going out and actually working a 9-to-5 and actually making a good living.
Yeah.
Whether it's $7.25 or whether it's $15 an hour, at least you worked and you
earned that.
And we have to change that dynamic of what success looks like.
Mm.
So that's something that we're working really hard on. We're trying to bring a community approach to it, a clergy approach to it.
Yes.
Trying to bring influencers and different people from the different broad stream of networks that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to do it in a way that's creative. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite programs actually is a program out of New York. It's a program called Music on the Inside.
Wow.
And they do a program where they actually go inside the jail and they actually teach people how to play instruments and how to do like expanding musical careers.
Right.
And we actually did an event with them last year where I was on the panel and I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people who graduated through their program actually came and performed at our gala last year.
Nice.
And
we
flew them from New York down here.
That's
and at our gala, we honored people like Zenona Clayton, who just got a statue revealed yesterday. We honored people like Ambassador Young, Latasha Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that this guy who didn't have the opportunity, who got to be on the stage to entertain those type of people.
Wow.
So again, it's changing that dynamic that you can make mistakes, but success is really defined by what you do with those mistakes.
Yes.
Those are things that we're trying to work on.
You know, you said something that was really powerful, and that is people equate guns to power. And it sounds really like it's a paradigm, right? It's what people are, it's what our kids are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering what's influencing our kids to even think this way. Is it culture? Is it media? Is it music? What is it that you're seeing that are the root causes of this?
I think it's a mix of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, I love when people who I don't have kids, but I love when people who have kids who always say that their kids don't understand things, right?
Mm.
And the first question I ask them is, I say, well, if you give your child the iPhone, can he unlock your iPhone? And they say, yeah.
Without your face and your password,
Without the face and password. and they're like 3 years old, which means that they understand a lot more than you think they understand.
That's right.
What does that mean is that when we have songs and we have a society that tells us that if we want to be successful, we have to have cars, money, and clothes, right? And we put these in lyrics of songs. This is what children actually think in their head in order for me to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working at 9-to-5 job. It's not working at that restaurant. It's not running for my local office in my community.
Wow.
It's me having money, cars, and clothes. That's what makes me successful. We have so many people, and it's not just... The crazy part about it, when we talk about gun violence, what we fail to talk about is the amount of people who commit suicide to gun violence, right?
Yes.
That we have so many people and so many young people. The leading cause of death to young people right now today is suicide to gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that they're getting bullied, because of the fact that they don't have on the type of shoes that everybody's now currently wearing, right?
Hey.
And you have so many different platforms like social media where now a person can really destroy your life in a matter of seconds. Literally.
Viral.
Within a matter of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in a different world than we lived in, right?
Where
man, you or me or you, we had to wait on AOL to dial up and hope that nobody called in on the phone. They live in a world where now you can literally touch your phone. In a matter of seconds, you can just change everything and we can portray this image.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to change the dynamic of, and from a parenting perspective, of what we define as success to our kids, right?
Yes.
I was talking to somebody the other day and they were from another island and they were from a different culture. And they was telling me how when they got over here, like, their parents would not hear anything else, but you had to be a doctor or this or that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't hear anything else. But their dream was to be a dancer. And...
Right.
The person, like, they're doing the doctor field because it's what their parents wanted them to do, but they're not doing what they love to do, right? Which is dancing.
Right.
So it was like their whole definition of success was defined by somebody else.
Wow.
And we have to learn how to encourage people when they say that, I want to be a dancer. Okay, baby, you can be a successful dancer. When I say, hey, you know what? I want to be a fireman. Okay, baby, you can be the chief of the fire office, right?
That's right.
How do we change that dynamic to whatever you want to do? How do you excel in the space in which you want to do it in? And I ain't talking about every field, but you know, the fields that are legit.
But no, you're right. And I think you have to, it's believe. Like, we have to be able to believe in our kids and show that. And I think it starts in the home, too. It starts in schools. Because if they're in a community where people don't believe in them, if they're in a home where parents are telling them, you can't do it, you ain't going to be nothing, you're going to be just like your daddy or whatever it is they hear. And that may not be every child, but that is the case of many kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if they come to school and teachers don't believe on them, then, you know.
But what I love, too, and you asked about the center earlier, what I love so much about this center is that what we've been able to do is that we've taken about 10,000 square feet of a church. Mm-hmm. And they were not using this space for anything right
now. Wow. And that's a lot of square feet.
Yeah, we said, let's reimagine it. Mm. What we did is that we found 12 nonprofits that were really great nonprofits that are doing great work on the ground every day right now in the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They have great programs that even some have been proven to be successful by the White House. They just didn't have the space to host their programs. Mm. What we did is that we opened up the doors and said, hey, look, let's take those programs and let's take this space and let's build it out, right?
Yes.
Let's deal with mental health. Black Push doesn't have to be the only organization here doing it.
That's right.
Let's deal with mental health. Let's partner with somebody to deal with grieving from others who have lost children to gun violence.
Right.
Let's partner with another organization to be that resource for ex-offenders who are coming out and don't know where their resources are going to come from.
Right.
Let's partner with, and we actually have one of our partners. I was going by the center today, walking down the hallway. They were setting up their room, and they put a barber chair in there. And I'm like, what's the barber chair for? Mm-hmm. She said, my husband's a barber. He's going to be offering free haircuts on Mondays.
Nice.
So it's just like, again, it's this community effort, right?
Yes.
It's 12 nonprofits
that
really don't even know each other coming together and saying, like, we're willing to put ourselves aside for the better cause of our community.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the church that's doing it at the forefront of it. And I think that's more impactful than anything because from a ministry standpoint, churches have to step up and we have to do more.
You know, I'm in awe at what you just said because I have never heard of such thing. And I have worked with churches probably my entire life. I've worked in ministry. I try to do a lot of faith empowerment with pastors. I'm a big believer in kingdom and the church needing to rise and step up to the plate because they have the answers to the world problems, but a lot of times are being hidden or are not on the ground. So what you're saying right now is really you're a trailblazer. You're setting the trend for what churches can do. A lot of churches have tons of space. Mm-hmm. And they're closed on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, Fridays, and then they open on Sunday and maybe on Wednesday. But the fact that you took that space, 10,000 square feet, and you were able to reimagine it and house nonprofits that are actually doing the work, that is a model that many churches, especially these big mega churches out here in Metro Atlanta, y'all, can follow, right? Can really follow.
And the crazy part about it is that I was even talking to somebody recently about it, and the idea really came from the mayor of Atlanta, right?
Wow.
Last year he did a call to clergy, and it was an interfaith luncheon.
Right.
And he made a comment. He said, I can't put a community center on every block, but you know what it is on every block? A church.
A church. That's the truth.
And he made that statement, and we kind of, like, it never left me. It never left the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my pastor, and I was like, you know, Reverend McDonald, I think we can do this. We have the space. Let's do it.
Right.
And he was all for it. And the beautiful part about it is that through the center, like Atlanta, as you know, is like a hub for the civil rights movement.
Yes.
We've been able to connect with so many different people and bridge the gaps between so many different generations. Like to be able to take a group, like I remember I sit on the board of this one nonprofit called Boss Girls, and we were to take a group of young ladies, about 12 young women, to go meet Zenona Clayton. And Zenona Clayton is spending, like, she just turned 92 and she's sitting up there telling them about her journey and how she had to go through what she had to go through. But
that's
to be
amazing.
Able to bridge that gap between someone who's 92 years old and a young lady who's 15 years old, to be able to have that conversation and dialogue, I think it's important because that's what we don't have.
Yes.
And that's what the center attacks. Like, it deals with conflict resolution. It deals with how do we talk to people?
Right.
How do we deal with people? And then it also deals with the spiritual aspect of a person.
Yes.
Because we cannot act like we don't live in a world to where a lot of things that we're going through right now are spiritual warfare,
that's true.
Right?
Right.
And then
Absolutely.
We live in a state too, a state and a nation to where it seems like certain states and certain states have rolled back on a lot of the adjustments that we have made.
That's true.
And not to call out, I mean, Georgia's on a track to passing a whole bunch of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the state of Florida is on track to banning certain education of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that we as a community can solve. And that's what community, this center represents, is it's all about saying, as a community, we don't have to depend on anybody to educate our children. We don't have to depend on anybody to give our children resources.
Right.
We can do it ourselves.
I love that. And I love the fact that you brought all of them together because I really believe that it takes a village. Mm-hmm. And I know it's so cliche, but it's true. Not one person, not one organization can do it. It takes multiple touch points. It takes us coming together as a collective so that you're doing this right now. Tell me what are the nonprofits maybe not the names, but what are they doing? What are their area specialties?
So we deal with everything. There's one nonprofit called the Raymond Green Outreach International Ministries, and mm-hmm. I don't know all of them by name.
Right.
But their nonprofit is a mother who lost her son at 5 days old.
Oh, Lord.
And she never found her son, and even to the day, he would be 45 years old today. So she started a nonprofit.
She never found her son.
Never found her son. And she started a nonprofit where she deals with people who have exploited children, the children who have been lost.
Oh, Lord.
So we have another nonprofit called Hope Hustlers. Hope Hustlers is a nonprofit that works with gangs.
Yes.
They actually go into gang houses and actually pull kids out of gangs.
Wow.
And they have a program called Cure Violence that's approved by the White House that they're working with.
Wow.
We have so many. We have, a nonprofits in there that deal with everything from freight dispatching classes. We actually do freight dispatching classes and hiring drivers out of the center.
Right.
So we're going to be hiring drivers through the dispatching class to actually work for
bringing
a freight
jobs.
Company that we have a contract with.
Nice.
It's just so many different things. The nonprofits are dealing with everything from battered women and battered men, right, who have been abused.
Mm-hmm.
We have a nonprofit called She Ministries in there. We have a mother in there who has lost her son called Jairus Heart of Success.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her son in gun violence, grieving families and relatives.
Wow.
I mean, it's so many different people. These are people who actually, and the beautiful part about this center, the crazy part is that these are not people who are speaking from a place of non-experience.
Lived experience.
Every single one of these nonprofits are people who actually have the experience of it.
Yes.
They know what it feels like to be locked up. They know what it feels like to have lost your son to gun violence or a child to gun violence. They know what it feels like to have a child that's been exploited, who's been lost since the age of 5 days.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So they have that real-life experience. And I think for me, the Bible kind of really defines it because it gives us this one lesson. It says that if you're going to preach to people, you first have to preach to yourself.
That's right.
And you have to preach to your personal experience, right?
Right.
So I think that we can really resolve a lot of these issues because it's people speaking from their own personal experience versus what they've researched and what they think to know.
Right.
It's different for me to go to a father who's lost a son and say, okay, I feel your pain, but I've never lost a son. But when you have a father who sits on your team who's lost a son,
that's right.
That makes a huge difference.
The program, the design is different. Everything about it is just different. The delivery is different. When you have people that have the lived experiences and they're the ones designing, not just providing, but they have designed, these are the hands of the ones that are designing the program. It makes it relevant because I believe that a lot of times nonprofits or community-based organizations without that lived experiences, sometimes there's a disconnect. Sometimes they're just rolling out a program. They don't know if it's going to work. They have no idea. It hasn't been tested. They're just like, it's a one-size-fits-all model. And it's not real. It doesn't work, right?
Right.
So when you have people that have lived that life, they have lived the experience, and now they can build something and say, here, we've overcome. Now we're going to help you overcome, too. I think that is super powerful.
No, it's going to be, I mean, it's amazing. I just look forward to the work that we're going to do.
Yes.
And I'm just excited about what we're going to do and what we still have to do. Because as a state, as a nation, we got a lot to do.
Yes. And I know we're wrapping up here, but I want to know, how can churches adopt a model very similar to yours? You know, I know it's very just innovative. It's out of the box. Churches may be, you know, feeling some kind of way or may be welcoming of it. How can churches, if they're looking to get more involved and doing something like this, what would you say to them?
No, I mean, I would tell them to reach out to our office. They can go to our website, www.blackpush.org. They can call the phone number. I think our number is 678-823-7638. Somebody at the office can help them. They'll direct them to somebody. It may not always be me, but they'll direct them to somebody who can help show them how we laid the program out. We want to partner with more churches. We want to share ideas with more places. So absolutely.
That's awesome. So what is the vision in the next year as it relates to other counties? You're starting out here in this ministry. Is the vision to expand it eventually to other?
The vision is to expand it. We actually are in talks with three different counties to expand before the end of the year.
Nice.
And this is just a portion of what we're going to do. I mean, it's just we're still going to be doing the barbershop tours I mentioned to you earlier today.
Yes.
We're still going to be going out and still helping people get registered to vote and galvanizing people around the aspect of voting.
Easy.
But this is a part of it. I think we can, as somebody once said, you can walk and chew gum at the same time.
So we're going to
do it all.
Right. I love it. I love that. Well, it's been such a pleasure, Mr. Smith, to have you with us tonight. Hearing about your work, I'm just very empowered. I'm inspired. I'm like, what could I do to really activate the churches more? I'm really big on working with clergy and working with leaders because they are key stakeholders in our community that oftentimes we forget about until a crisis happens.
Right.
And then we're calling on them. But I believe that we can work with them now as you are. So I just want to say thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for being a trendsetter and a trailblazer. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your work. And thank you for being with us.
And thank you guys for everything that you guys are doing, too.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and we're a nonprofit organization. We are not housed yet. But if you need any services from us, we provide everything from mental health to education to STEM to career access. We work with the most vulnerable kids. And so we consider us a resource.
No, we are. Definitely. Trust me. I did some research before I walked in.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Smith. I appreciate you. Thank you again for sharing this space with me.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening and for watching and for tuning in. You heard from Sean Smith himself. Black Push is doing great work changing the face of Georgia. How can people reach you one more time, Mr. Smith?
They can go to www.blackpush.org. They can call our offices at 678-823-7638. Google, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, they name
also,
it. We're everywhere.
Covering everything. Thank you so much, all. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel, to our podcast, so you can be first to be notified when new episodes are released. Thank you again so much. We love you, Metro Atlanta, New York, wherever you're listening from. Stay tuned. We'll see you soon.